They scorned and they mocked. hung there with two common thieves. For he had to fulfill his father's own will, and I was right there in a dream. For he had to fulfill his father's own will, and I was right there in a dream.
Good morning. Happy Easter. It's good to be able to come to you this morning on Facebook Live. Seems like we have become fellowship live through this situation that we're all going through right now, but I am thankful for the opportunity to use this platform, the social media, in order for us to continue to study God's Word one with another, to share some encouragement, and it's good to be with you this morning. It's time to get up and celebrate. It's Resurrection Morning. What a wonderful time it is for Christians, for non-believers, a time of victory for each and every one of us. We wanted to do a little something special for you this morning, it being Easter morning. So we've come out to Brian and Jean Jones Farm to use this beautiful backdrop that I have here behind me to bring the message this morning. I'm glad to have Randall and Shannon and Lance here with me, but they're my technologists, if you will. They've been super during this time that we've been doing this Facebook Live, and what a wonderful job they've done with me and to bring you the Word of God through Facebook Live. If it had been up to me, I would be sending out cassette tapes, and that wouldn't be nowhere near as fun as what we've been doing through Facebook Live. Glad to have you with me. If you will take a few minutes, clear the room, sit down with your family, clear your mind, turn the TV off, unless you're watching Facebook through TV, and then let's just all take a few minutes and celebrate Easter Sunday morning one with another. If you will, bow your heads, pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I'm nothing without you. And God, through all of this, I know that we've all had some uncertain times in our life. God, we've had some times that are unusual for us, but we know that you knew all of this was coming before we ever did. And God, we're here to celebrate this morning. We want to celebrate your risen Savior, our risen Savior, that was willing to come and give his life for us on a cross. And God, I want to thank you and praise you for that. God, help us that we always give you glory with our lives, that we take our lives and use them to point others to the cross of Christ. God, bless the message this morning. Help us in everything that we do, God, that we always please you. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As I come to you this morning, like I said, we're over at Brian and Jean Jones Farm, and I had called Brian and asked him if we could come over here and use this backdrop to bring the message this morning, and of course he agreed without hesitation. And when I came over and seen the beautiful backdrop of Pilot Mountain and then, of course, the cross that's here behind me, there were some thoughts that crossed my mind and some scriptures that come to me that I want to share with you this morning. And as I stand here in front of this cross this morning, and I know we're celebrating a risen Savior, but before the risen Savior, we had the cross. And as I look at this cross this morning, as I stand here at the foot of this cross, I want to share a couple of thoughts and a couple of scriptures with you. And first of all, I want to share with you Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 8. The first thing that I think of when I stand here in front of this cross is a plan. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I would like to share with us this morning that before the foundations of the world, that God knew that we were going to need a Savior, that we were going to need a Redeemer, and this plan of the cross was put in place. And I know as we celebrated Good Friday this week, and as we thought about the agony of the cross, and we're going to get into that in just a few minutes, but as we think about that, and as I stand here in front of this cross this morning, I'm glad to know about the plan that God had for me, a plan that I could be reconciled unto him, a plan that I could be one of his children. Before I was ever even thought of in this world, I was being thought of out of this world, that God loved me so much that he wanted me to be able to have that relationship with him. John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'm glad and I'm thankful for the promise and the plan of the cross. I'm so thankful that I had a plan in order to be reconciled unto Jesus Christ. As I also stand here in front of this cross, I think about the pain of the cross. There was a plan of the cross. There was the pain of the cross. We covered this some last Sunday during the message, and we talked about the cruelty and the agony that he went through there on the cross, about how they beat him and how they ripped his flesh apart and how they nailed him to the cross and how they put the crown of thorns on his head. I want you to listen to Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. The Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." There was some enduring that Christ did here on the cross. There was some enduring of some pain, the endurance of the shame. If you notice here in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, it even speaks of the shame and how it must have been shameful for the sin of the world, for my sin and your sin to be placed on him there on the cross. And then, of course, that we know how that his father had to turn his back on him because of the sin of the world that was put on him. And there it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I'm glad that as there was a plan of the cross, but I also realize that there was pain of the cross. As we stand here before this cross this morning, there was a plan, there was a pain, there was horrible agony of the cross. There was not only the physical pain, but there was emotional pain, and then there was the shame that he bore for you and I. There's one more thing that I would like to mention as I stand here at the foot of this cross this morning. As we think about the plan of the cross and we think about the pain of the cross, as I called Brian a couple of weeks ago and asked him if maybe we could come out and do this message here on Easter Sunday morning and ask him if it would be okay to do that. He said, sure, it would. And I said, well, we may need to come by and do a test run in order for us to be sure that our Wi-Fi is going to work okay, that we can get enough signal and everything will work just fine for our Facebook Live. And Brian said, that will be just fine. And he also added one more thing. He said, I want you to know, in case you need it, there is power at the cross. When Brian said that to me, I just about tore my truck apart. I about had me a Holy Ghost fit right there in the driver's seat of my truck. Because I want you to know, not only was there the plan of the cross and the pain of the cross, but there is the power of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." As I stand here at this cross this morning, I want you to know that there is power at the foot of the cross. There is power to forgive my sins. You know, each and every one of us, we have different sins in our life, but each and every one of those sins equal up to Jesus Christ having to give his life on a cross. They equal up to my shame that he bore there on the cross, that there was power to forgive my sins here on this cross, that there was power to relieve my shame here at this cross. There is power that my past has been erased. Man, I'm so thankful that when I think about my sin, that when I think about Jesus forgiving my sin, not only did he just forgive it, because you know what, there's a lot of people here on this earth that I've had to ask them to forgive me for different things, and I know that a lot of them have truly forgiven me, but there's a lot of things that have not been forgotten. But I'm glad as I come to Jesus Christ and I confess my sins and ask him to come into my life and be my Savior, that not only did he forgive me of my sins, but he erased my past. The Bible says that he took my sin and cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. I'm glad that there is power at the cross for my past to be erased. There is power for my present to be endured. I know we're going through some strange things right now. We're going through some times we've never been, but wherever you're at today, no matter what you're going through, no matter the problems that life may be giving you, I promise you there is power at the cross for your present time to be endured. Whatever you're going through, see, he told us, he said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said that he would be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is power for you to endure your present situation. There's power to forgive my sins, for my shame to be relieved, for my past to be erased, for my present to be endured, and there is power for my eternity to be secured, or for my eternity to be settled. I'm glad that when I come to Jesus Christ as a 7-year-old boy and I ask him to forgive me of my sins, that he forgave me of my sins, he forgot my sins, and he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there, and there's nothing that you can do or anyone else can do to take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about my future, because I know that he told me, he said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That my future is secure in Jesus Christ. I'm also glad of one other thing. As I stand here at the cross and I think about the plan and the pain and the power that was at the cross, I want you to know that the cross was not the end of the road, that the cross was not the final step, that as he hung there on that cross and he said, into your hands I commend my spirit, as he was looking unto his Father and he gave up the ghost there on the cross and he gave his life for you and I want you to know that that wasn't the end of the story. I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter number 24 and let's begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. As they took the body of Jesus down off the cross and they went and laid him in a borrowed tomb, they went and they needed somewhere to put him after he had given his life there on the cross. Now it's been a couple of days and now these ladies are going to go out and they're going to give spices and ointments to put on the body of Jesus. And the Bible says that they woke up very early in the morning. And I can't imagine all the reasons that there was that they may have done that, but I would imagine that these ladies were scared. They had just watched these Roman soldiers take and beat Jesus and put him there on the cross and torture him as he was there on the cross. I would also imagine that these ladies were probably very sleep deprived, and I never thought about that before, but just imagine what they witnessed as Jesus hung there on the cross. Just imagine the traumatic experience that they may have been in as they watched Jesus give his life there on the cross. If you've ever seen anything like that, if you've ever seen anyone go through something horrible, if you've ever maybe drove up on a wreck scene and seen something horrible, you know how it messes with your mind and your heart and your emotions for a few days. So just imagine, if you will, how these ladies must have felt as they watched Jesus go through what he went through. They were also heartbroken and confused, wanting to go out and anoint the body of Jesus. Verse number 2, "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher." In another account in God's word, you'll see where they were wondering who was going to roll the stone away. But as they walked up to the tomb that day, the stone was already rolled away, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet in Galilee." As these ladies went out to that sepulchre that morning and they found the stone rolled away, and man, how their mind must have been flooded with all different kinds of thoughts as they seen that stone was rolled away and as they seen that Jesus was not there in the tomb. But I want you to know, as those two angels, those two men in bright apparel, as they spoke up and said, "Fear not, why seek ye the living among the dead?" Man, what victory there was in those words. What victory there still is for you and I in those words, that Jesus Christ is not dead. The Bible says, "For he is not here, he is risen." As I stand here at the cross and I think about the plan, the pain, and the power, but when I look at the grave and I see the empty grave this morning, I think about victory for you and I. I think about how Jesus overcome death, hell, and the grave, how he got up out of that grave and he become victorious over what Satan thought he had put him through. There is victory for you and I this morning in the empty tomb. I'm thankful for the plan, the pain, and the power of the cross, but I'm thankful for the victory of the grave that we have this morning, that we're serving a risen Savior. We're not serving some little statue set up on the wall. We don't have to walk by a little picture on our bedroom wall, or we don't have to carry over the grave. I want us to look at this verse of scripture for just a moment. As these angels were looking here at the ladies, and they say, "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Those ladies had come seeking the wrong thing. They thought they had the best of intentions with everything that they were doing. They went out to anoint the body of Jesus. They went out to show love and compassion for the body of Jesus, but they were seeking the wrong thing. And these angels told them, said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? You've come here seeking one that's dead, but he's not here. He's alive." I want you to know that in this life, I believe there are a lot of people who are seeking the wrong thing. They're doing everything they can to do things right, to do things to the best of their ability. They're good moral people, but they're seeking a good life and a good time. They're seeking success in this life. Maybe they're seeking purpose and meaning for their life. They might be seeking to leave a legacy when they leave this life. They may only be seeking for their family to have a better life than they ever had, to give their family everything that they ever wanted. But if we're seeking those things while we're here on this earth, we have forgotten and we're not seeking the things that we should be seeking. Stop seeking those things and let's seek after Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto us. As we look at Jesus this morning, I want you to know that the soldiers couldn't kill him, that death couldn't keep him, the grave couldn't contain him, Satan couldn't defeat him, and you can't make it without him. All of these things that you may be seeking in your life, all the success, leaving the legacy, whatever it is that you may be seeking in your life, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of those things. I want you to know that in this life, you may think you're getting by. You may think that everything is going pretty good in your life. You may think you're making it without him. But I want to guarantee you on the authority of God's word that you cannot make it without Jesus Christ. See, there's coming a day that we're all going to stand before him. The Bible teaches us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. See, you know, I don't think it's going to be very long, and I think that Jesus is going to come seeking his church. He's going to come to rescue his church. He's going to come to gather his church and to claim his bride, and we shall forever be with him. But if you're lost and you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the plan of the cross, the pain of the cross, and the power of the cross will not help you until it becomes real to you. Until you find an opportunity, until you realize that you're a sinner, until you realize that without Jesus Christ, that you cannot make it to heaven, until you find an opportunity to get on your knees and ask him to forgive you of your sins, then the cross is merely two pieces of wood to you. The cross is nothing more than a story. But when it becomes real, and when you realize the plan was made for you, the pain was suffered for you, and the power is for you, and I want you to know that empty grave will mean so much more to you in the victory of Jesus Christ. Church, I don't think it's going to be long and we're going to be in his presence. I don't think it's going to be long and those eastern skies are going to split. We've all heard about it, thought about it, and talked about it all of our lives. But one day, and I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, he is coming to claim his bride, to gather his church. I'm looking forward to being in his presence, to being there when I finally get my final victory, when my faith ends in sight. But if you're watching this morning and you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you, I want to beg with you, I want to plead with you to find an opportunity and come to know Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Let the plan, the power, and the pain of the cross become real to you so that the victory will be yours. Thank you for listening with us this morning. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to the Word of God. I hope it has encouraged you as a Christian. If you're listening and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to listen for that still small voice. Listen for God to speak to your heart. Listen for God to call your name. If he does and you know that you're a sinner and you believe that the plan of the cross was for you, the pain of the cross was for you, and that the power of the cross is what you need in your life, if you'll be willing to admit that you're a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, if you will be willing to do that, to confess your sins unto him and ask him to forgive you of your sins, you can have the victory just like Jesus did over death, hell, and the grave. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and to celebrate on Easter Sunday morning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do want to thank you that there was a plan of the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for going through the pain of the cross, for taking what I should have had, what I deserved. I want to thank you and praise you for that. And then I want to thank you for the power that I found at the cross. I pray this morning that if there's one listening that doesn't know that, that has never asked you to come into their heart and into their life, I pray that you'll speak to their heart right now and that they will receive you as their personal Savior. I do want to celebrate and give you glory and give you honor for the victory of the empty tomb. I'm glad that those ladies heard, he is not here, he is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Thank you for being my risen, living Savior. Lord, I know one day you're coming back for me. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help me to be watching, that you'll help me to be waiting, and help me to use my life to give you glory and to point others to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for being with us this morning. I really appreciate the few minutes of your day that you've given us. I ask you to celebrate our risen Savior today. Happy Easter.
Today I face the mountain. Once again he's been so tall. I try to climb it, but it seems I shall leave all. So once again I called on Jesus. Just as always I found his presence. His hands of mercy, he lifted me. In life before, he's given victory one more time. He was always standing by my side when the valley was low and the rivers wide. I want to thank him. I want to praise him one more time. Looking back on this journey, since the day that I first met him, so many times his love, his mercy has rescued me. So once again, I called on for him. One more time, I stand and praise him for all his blessing. Yeah, he has been so good to me. Yeah.